Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I was just joking. Tommy, behind the mic, behind the glass. Is your maiden voyage?
Yes, sir. It's my first time.
Yeah, I was pretending to say things, and I really wasn't.
You scared me.
Did I scare you? Oh, excellent. I love it.
You got me, too.
Did you? Oh, I love it. Yes. All right. This is a baseball is boring show. We're full of hijinks. All right. But we're also full of baseball talk. I love talking baseball. You know how
Who
I know this?
Who doesn't?
You know how I know this, Joe?
How?
Joe Schmo.
Tell me.
That's not an insult when I call you that. It's just like, I just like saying it. You know, because I do it every day. So we have a podcast up. People say, how do you do it? I think, well, person, I'll tell you how I do it, because I just like talking about it. The podcasts are the easy part to do. Every single day by 8 a.m., we have at least a 20-minute podcast up. This week, who did we have? We had, let's give you a little sample of the kind of talent that we had. So if we go back, we had Zach Gallen. We had, hold on a second. Who do we have? Well, we had Gronk. We had Zach Gallen, Trevor Story, obviously Rich Hill. We had Dennis Eckersley, which was, is there anybody better than him? No. The answer is no. Dennis Eckersley, go check that one out, where he talks about the emotions of Oakland closing up shop. As I said, the Oakland Coliseum, which, you know, obviously the A's are moving on. It's like a CVS going out of business. Like, they aren't restocking the shelves. It's so depressing. But for a guy like Eck, who has a gate named after him, and has if you look up in the top deck, an entire section where this is Eck. I mean, how do you not get emotional? Kevin Gausman had on, like I said, Zach Gallen, and, you know, Michael Kelly. This is another one I loved. This is another reason I love doing this podcast. We had on Michael Kelly, who was an actor who was a huge Atlanta Braves fan, and he's in the upcoming series, which I know that you're looking forward to, Joe Schmo, which is the Penguin. On HBO, I think it's September 19th. Michael Kelly.
Dropping right on my birthday. That's perfect.
It's your birthday?
On that day, yeah.
Wow.
What a great gift.
Is that the day Gordo comes back from his honeymoon?
No, he said the 18th.
The 18th. He'll be back in time for the celebration. I like it. But Michael Kelly is the actor. You might know him from your House of Cards. Anybody House of Cards? Anybody?
Yeah.
Doug Stamper. He's Doug Stamper. He's in a ton of stuff.
One of my favorite characters.
But he tells some great Morgan Freeman and Colin Farrell stories. Before I get to the calls, I'm going to tell this Colin Farrell story just because I can, that he passed along. He's at a table read for the Penguin, because Colin Farrell plays the Penguin. I mean, if you want to cut this for the Dork podcast, you can. But Colin Farrell walks in, and you know, he's nice. Colin Farrell, Irish guy, a lot of confidence, whatever. Sits down, pulls a ski mask out of his pocket, and pulls it over his head and does the entire table read wearing a ski mask, finishes, takes it off, walks out. I'm like, let's go. I should do a show that way. I should go all Colin Farrell, where I sit down in this chair, pull a ski mask, like I'm in the zone right now. Don't bother me. I'm Mr. Baseball. Let's go.
You and Tristan Casas simultaneously, right next to each other in ski masks.
Yeah, before there was Tristan Casas, where there was Colin Farrell. Yeah,
maybe he got it from Colin.
Maybe. You know what? That's why you're sitting in that chair, because you're expertly linking all these things together. The great game of baseball and acting. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Gabe in Springfield. Hey, Gabe, how are you?
Great. Baseball is definitely not boring.
Thank you.
Let me tell you something. I'm watching the Astros series, and my nephew comes over, and he just gets out of a treatment program for heroin, sadly. But here's the Astros with the word oxy, you know, on the sleeves of their jerseys, okay? I mean, the kid was like, he told me it was the toughest part of being out of treatment so far. So I'm wondering if there's some kind of petition we could start. Baseball's not boring, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, Gabe, I would say this. Listen.
Bad thing.
Yeah, Gabe, I would say this. I'm just going to say this, is that when I saw that, that's a sponsorship that they've had for a few years ago. Like, first of all, we aren't changing it because it's money. But I did feel like that was weird. That was very weird for them to do that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they had to go through that.
I appreciate it. He said even the color of it was the same color as Yahtzee dolls in every pharmacy in America, you know? So that was it. And one more thing about Casas. I don't know if you've ever been to any open mic, you know, musical places. You sit there through, you know, 12, you know, flannel shirt guys, and they're all great. And then all of a sudden a poet gets up there or a spoken word guy. And your first take is like, oh, God, what's this? But by the end of it, you're ready for more. I'm ready for more Casas. I hope nobody ever puts a muzzle on him. We need more.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you. Keep baseball, not boys.
All right. Thank you, Gabe. And this is the thing with Casas. Like, this is the crux of the matter, which is when he was hurt and he wasn't playing and he was still doing sort of wacky things and saying everything, like, everyone like, I'm sick of this guy. I'm sick of this guy. I'm sick of this guy. But then when he plays well, they go, hey, yay, yay, yay. And now I think this last week with the ski mask and the sunbathing and the reminder, I mean, this is just another thing, right? It's a constant wave of things. But that was a reminder for people like, oh, well, this guy's a little, like, different. But he hadn't taken root in terms of showing how valuable he was. So I think people immediately were like, they defaulted to this ridiculous narrative of get this guy out of town because he's strange. He's maybe like he's doing things that's not baseball related. And I can't sit here and say that everybody in that clubhouse is saying, oh, hey, yay, Christian Casas, go get him. Because I don't think they are. I don't think they are. But at the same time, so what? You know, so what? I can look across a clubhouse and say, I don't like that guy. I don't agree with that guy's politics. I don't like the guy. Liam Hendricks talks a lot. Maybe someone doesn't like the fact that he talks a lot. Like, I don't know. But not everyone's going to be like, yay. Like, but as long as you're a good teammate and you're doing your work and you produce, which I think Tristan Casas checks off every one of those boxes, then what's the problem?
I agree. There's nothing he's done that has hurt the team in any way with all of this stuff that he's done. He's just upset. I sort of put these Casas haters sort of in the same group as those that were like against the pitch clock and all these changes early on. It's like the baseball purists.
Yeah, and you know what? When the game was 2.5 hours, you didn't hear from him. And when Tristan Casas has an OPS over 900, when I keep, and I know that Tony Bridgewater doesn't like that I do it, he thinks that I'm cherry picking. I'm not cherry picking stats. Like, this is a very real statistic with Tristan Casas. If we're going to identify what he is as a major leaguer, and what he is a major leaguer for the equivalent of a season, basically. And by the way, after he hit that 2-month bump in the road, which almost every position player hits, see Jackson Holliday. After that, he has become an over 900 OPS guy. That's what he is. And
not only that, but if you just use the eye test, like look at his defense at first base.
Well, it's better. I think it's better. It's better. I mean, let's not go overboard. I mean, it's better. But so anyway, if you want to call in, fine. 617-779-7937. That's fine. I mean, the biggest takeaway here, guys, is that the Tristan Casas, whatever he's doing, that's not part of the problem. It's part of the solution. And that's how you have to look at all of this. What's part of the solution for the Boston Red Sox going forward? And what's part of the problem? Is how are you going to be able to get where you need to go? How are you going to be able to go on this run? Well, in the Fall River said they're going to win 7 in a row. Fine. But how are you going to do that? Tristan Casas is part of the solution, not part of the problem. So, I don't know. You can call in. And I love when people – I kind of do. I love – it's sort of a guilty pleasure of these people who are, like, calling in. You got to ship them out of town. I hate – okay, well, why? And then they're like, because he talks too much. Because he does this. Because he does that. Okay. Okay. I there is a guilty pleasure in that because it's so easily picked apart. But still, it's he's a very polarizing, and even including Papelbon. I mean, Papelbon was on Nesson. I was sitting there in studio when he was railing on him. And I said, and Papelbon gives the analogy of like, I lived through this. Manny Ramirez. Well, and I told him off the air, I said, that doesn't hold up. You know why? No, because you won championships with Manny Ramirez. You dealt with Manny Ramirez. Yeah, he did stuff that everyone cringed at. But you know what? He did stuff that everybody cringed at for 7 years before he finally, 7.5 years before he finally went off the rails and pushed Jack McCormick and called out ownership and did all this stuff. Like 7.5 years where you put up with all this stuff with Manny Ramirez and you still won. But you know why? You know why you put up with him? Because he was really, really, really good. And yes, it was strange and it was uncomfortable sometimes, but you get strange and uncomfortable a lot in clubhouses in a lot of different ways. Anyway, if you want to weigh in, 617-779-7937. All right, after the break, I'm going to play the Roman Anthony conversation I had. And also, I have convinced myself that I want to hear from Bobby Dalbec on how when you watch or when you listen to Tarek Skubal tonight, one of the best pitchers in the American League, with Will Fleming and Lou Maloney on the call, when you listen to them and you hear him say, my goodness, what a changeup that is. This is going to make you a more educated baseball fan by listening to Bobby Dalbec tell you how he taught Tarek Skubal the changeup. Right now, Joe Braverman is going to teach me about what's going on in the world of sports.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox escaped their series opener in Detroit against the Tigers with a 7-5 win in 10 innings. Sox had a 4-0 lead in the eighth until Kerry Carpenter cut it to 1 with a 3-run blast. Kenley Jansen blew the save in the ninth, but he was bailed out in the 10th when Sedan Rafael and Jaron Duran hit back-to-back home runs. Chris Martin came in, got the save, and kept the Sox 3.5 games back in the wild card standings. Game 2 of this 3-game set will take place tonight. You can hear Will Fleming and Lou Maloney on the call from Comerica Park at 6:10 on the Shaw's Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Nick Pavetta will get the start for the Sox opposite Tarek Skubal for the Tigers. Joe Weil will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 5:10. Mass Mutual Insurance, Planning, Investments. Before yesterday's game, Alex Cora told the media that shortstop Trevor Story will begin a rehab assignment with AAA Worcester on Sunday as DH for the Woo Sox. Story hasn't played since suffering a fractured shoulder on April 5th. It's a day off for the Patriots today. They'll resume practicing on Monday as they prepare for their regular season opener in Cincinnati against the Bengals next Sunday. First full weekend of college football is continuing today. Georgia is currently leading Clemson 13-3. That's the top-ranked Bulldogs over the 14th-ranked Tigers. In about an hour or so, you can see 7th-ranked Notre Dame, or I should say UMass, in their home opener against Eastern Michigan. That kicks off at 3:30. And later on tonight is 7th-ranked Notre Dame at 20-ranked Texas. That kicks off at 7:30. And the Revolution are still in the MLS playoff hunt as they travel to face Real Salt Lake tonight at 9:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Let's go. All right, you already got an A+. Good job, Tom. Good job. You know, when we hit the stretch drive, I need a little bolt. I'm trying to cut back on the caffeine. Try to cut back the 5 Celsius and 2 5-hour energies probably were a bit much. So instead, I want the rejoining of Ace of Spades by Motorhead. All right, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show, 617-779-7937. If you want to yell at me, if you want to sing from the mountaintops, Baseball Isn't Boring. But this, once again, this is Cruise By. I appreciate everybody for jumping on board. This is the great thing about it, Joe Schmo, is that it's a community of people. It's a community of people that we have. It takes a village. In today's village, it took Riley Pay, Emma Tiedemann, Gordo, Brian Abraham, Joe Weil, and now that community, that village, is going to be made up of a person who may, next week, may be the top prospect in baseball. Guys are getting called up. Rankings are being made. Maybe the top prospect in baseball. His name's Roman Anthony. Do we have this ready to go? Yeah? Okay. So this is the conversation I had with Roman Anthony. At the beginning of it, to set the scene, I'm talking about him winning the skills challenge at the All-Star game and what he won. And not to spoil it for you, but we also talked to Brian Abraham, farm director, to clarify when you're going to hear this in a second. Roman Anthony says, well, they promised me money and I haven't seen money. And so as people who get to the bottom of what's what, we have now probably, we probably will take credit for this of when Roman Anthony gets his money, that it's because of us, because we told Brian Abraham, get Roman Anthony his promised money that he won from that event. Anyway, all right, here is Red Sox top prospect, the top prospect in all of the Red Sox system, Roman Anthony.
There's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now.
Yeah, that,
right.
I appreciate it.
In fact, all right, so tell me, if you look back to when we talked at spring training and Tristan Casas was stealing our house and what life was like then, how different are you as a baseball player than that?
I think just what I've learned and what I've taken in from the different clubhouses I've been at this year now, spending the time in Double A and then coming here, I think I've just learned a lot, especially being here with guys who are older, guys have big league time, and playing against guys who I've watched on TV growing up. So I think that's just the biggest thing, just kind of maturing every day and learning as much as I can day in and day out. But other than that, I think...
So what do you learn?
I think just constantly picking guys' brains about certain guys and you know, being here now, seeing guys that we've had. We have teammates that have faced all year and guys that they've played with and against. I think just asking them about that and all the data we have here and the coaching staff that we have here is great. So I think just every single day I'm learning something.
You along with Jaron Duran, you highlighted the All-Star weekend. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
How's your life changed since you What did you get for that? Like, what did you get?
You got
like a washer and dryer?
A washer and dryer, no. I got a little plaque, but... they said I was supposed to get a cash prize, but I haven't gotten that yet, so.
Ooh, is that true?
Yeah, I don't know how much. I don't know what it is. I don't even know if that's true, but that's what they told us in the presentation before they gave it to us. But all I got was a little plaque when I won it, so I'm still waiting on that cash prize.
In tradition of that, you know what you get for this interview? You get a cash prize.
Let's go.
Which is the ultimate hollow promise.
Yeah,
it could be a dollar. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but that was a cool, like, honestly, like being there, and I'm talking about the showcase, you know, where you hit the million home runs to win it to come out of last place. But it's a cool thing, man. Like, it's, you've had a lot of cool moments this year. I mean, but that's a cool thing because you're also with your boys, you're with Teal, you're with Marcelo, and it was just like you're in this major league setting, you're hitting balls out of a major league park.
Yeah, I don't think my weekend was as good as Jaron's, but
I mean, it wasn't that far off.
Yeah,
you know, the Netflix, though, like they. I said, did you get, like, I don't know if they missed that, they missed the boat.
Yeah, I don't think they were there. I didn't see them. I usually see Greg and those guys when they're around, but I don't think.
Yeah, they were only there for your bench clearing brawl in Portland.
That's it. That's about it. That was a funny 2 days that they were in Portland, but I don't think I saw them the All-Star weekend. You know, granted, we were there a little earlier than when the big league guys were there.
So I asked Jaron this when he won the All-Star game MVP, and I've seen this happen where you do something like that and there's a confidence in you that it's just sort of like, maybe it's 5%, maybe it's 90%, but there is like a confidence in you. You're among the best. You did something that nobody else did. I don't know if you, looking back, if that gave you a little bit of spring in your step going forward.
I think it's just honestly like helps the fact that I had as much confidence as I could going into it more than, you know, when I came out of it, like knowing that, you know, I belong there and that I can win it and expect to win it going into it. I guess in the least cocky way I can say that, but I think when you just go into it with a lot of confidence, you know, it's not something you come out and say, oh, I gained confidence from it. But yeah, it's definitely nice to win that and then to get that, you know, award. But I think it's just more about going into it and going into, you know, not just that, but starting the year in AA, being young there and then coming here. I think it's just having confidence is the biggest thing.
So that's my master interviewing skills, right? So it's like the confidence, you talk about confidence, like this is where everything is rooted. Like we can say, oh, there goes Roman Anthony, he's young and he's going to this level, he's going to this level, he's going to this level. The reality is that you've just kept on going, right?
Yeah.
You've just kept on playing. You kept playing baseball, and I don't know, like if that confidence level that you're talking about has remained like this the entire time.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, it's important as you go up, like I just mentioned, just continuing to remain confident. You know, I've gone through rough patches, started this year slow, but I never lost that confidence, and I knew that, you know, especially after last year going through my first full year, coming into this year as confident as I can be in spring training and knowing I belong wherever I am at that time, you know, and getting to play in some big league games at spring training, and then, like I said, going to Portland, struggling a little bit at first, starting a little bit slower than I would have liked to, of course, but I remained confident the whole time and stuck with, you know, what got me there and that same confidence that I had last year going up to a few different levels. And then took that over, you know, to Texas and then now to here. So I think it's really important to, you know, kind of remain the same. And I think I've done a good job of that, especially after, you know, all I learned last year.
Is there also, it's like if you go out to the park and you play pickup with guys and you're like, oh, I can hang with these guys. You know, you work out with, what, Jackson Holliday? Who else do you work out with? I don't want to slight anybody in the offseason.
There's been a bunch of good ones.
You do that. You go to spring training. You play in major league games. You do that. But now you're in AAA. You're able to hang. Like there is an element of like, hey, this is cool, man. This is baseball. I'm able to hang. Am I simplifying it? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the biggest thing is when you go to a new clubhouse and you see new faces. That can be the hardest part, like especially I learned that last year, really in my first transition to high A, was the main thing I found myself like worrying about was not just going out and playing and being myself. It was like, you know, that feeling of like, okay, trying to fit in, trying to, you know, be with the guys. And then, you know, last year was my first spring training. And, you know, I tried to meet as many guys as I could in order to make those transitions a little bit more comfortable. But that's the biggest thing that I've learned over the course of the last 2 years transitioning to new clubhouses. You know, this year I know most of the guys, so it made it a little easier. But the biggest thing is just knowing you belong there, being confident, and being a good teammate and handling everything off the field and in the clubhouse and handling your work so that way it's the same game on the field.
It is.
So it's not really anything different once you get out there.
Do you feel like you're, listen, I don't, congratulations, you're on the doorstep of the major leagues, but do you feel like that mindset, when you do get that opportunity, that's going to carry over because you have done it now a few times. Now, the major leagues are different.
Yeah.
We can talk about per diem in a second, right? But the major leagues are different. But like, do you feel like once you get there, you're going to be able to sort of keep that same mindset?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's no point in changing once you get out there. I think, you know, guys who go up there, they go up there for a reason because what they've done, you know, in the minor leagues or at these different levels has worked. So I think it would be, you know, ridiculous to go out there and change anything. Obviously, you adjust as time goes on, and sometimes you have to change a little bit. But I think that, you know, with, like I mentioned, with being confident and going up there and going to any level, just knowing you belong there and that trusting the org that you're there for a reason is you know, the biggest part of that transition.
I think that, so we've had this conversation, like the way the baseball is, you said you're going to have to adjust, you are going to have to adjust. Like this,
yeah.
The Jackson thing, Jackson Holliday thing is like, he's the poster boy for this, right?
Yeah.
You dominate, all of a sudden, boom, you're 1 for 30 something, right? and then you go, you adjust, you come back, and you're good. Like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But to able to accept that is a big part of this. Like, mental performance coach on you. But to be able to accept that,
yeah,
and then also carry over the momentum of playing well.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you can't forget, too.
Yeah, I think it's just never getting too high or too low.
Right.
And that's one thing that talking with some of the guys here who have big league time, and they all seem to say the same thing. Like, you know, you're going to go up there and you're going to struggle, but, you know, it's just that sense of never being too high or never being too low, and not really riding the wave. We'd say here is don't ride the wave. Don't ride the performance wave. Like, you're where you're at for a reason. But I think the biggest thing is if you just go up, like, at every level, I think my main goal has been to just learn and to try to win.
Mm.
And I think when you just try to go out there and give it all you got to win that day, the little things take care of themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say win. It's so weird because, like, mine at least can be like AAU.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, let's be honest, like, AAU is like, it's,
yeah,
like,
it can be very individualized.
Right,
sure.
Right. But if you do focus on winning, then you don't get stressed out about the other stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not really worried about, you know, what the scoreboard says when I go up to bat. I think it's more of just, especially at this level now, more than ever. I think, like Trace mentioned, this is kind of like the finishing up school part of the minor leagues, where here it's definitely more unselfish. Not that it should be selfish anywhere, but, you know, little things like continuing to bust it out of the box, put pressure on the defense, being able to get the job done when there's a runner on third with one out or something, being able to hit that ground ball, and not, like you said, just being individualized and trying to pad your stats. I think that's the biggest thing. And when you do that, you tend to have success anyway.
What are you finishing up? You're finishing up school. Like, what is the thing that, and I don't know, it's like the whole thing, right? But for you, it's sort of, okay, this is what I feel like I really want to lock down.
Yeah, just moving around as I've done so far, playing left field, playing right field. So moving around, being more versatile, base running, getting better secondaries, being more alert, doing the little things correct, getting out of, like I just mentioned, getting out of the box hard. You see that we have a team up top that puts pressure on the defense with Duran and with all the guys that bust it out of the box and are always looking to get that extra 90. So yeah, it's not just like going out there and being a good hitter in AAA and playing solid defense. I think it's being able to, you know, be versatile and, like I mentioned, move around in the outfield, so that way when the time comes, whether that be in left, right, or wherever it is, center, you know, I'll be ready.
Cliche question, you've probably been asked this a bunch, but it's sort of like, it's cool to me that you guys have this group, right? Because it's not like just like you're all together at the same level, but you're tight. You have the same car as Marcelo.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but it's
that wasn't on purpose.
I know, but I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's sort of, so like, it is the idea of what, this is cool, but the idea of what is awaiting is, I don't know if you guys sit in your whatever condo and talk about this or whatever, but it's for fans it's cool, but for you guys it must be cool too.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like getting to go up with Kyle and Marcelo and things like that, and just how close everyone is. I think that just makes going out there a whole lot easier when you're taking the field with a group of guys that you enjoy being around and that you enjoy trying to win with. And it's exciting as you go up and then you see new guys who have, you know, the same goal. So it's definitely exciting that way. And it's, as we mentioned earlier, it's not as individualized as, you know, maybe, you know, in other places. So it just makes it a whole lot more fun. And like I mentioned, just trying to go out there and win with the nine guys, you know, besides you, it's a good feeling.
Did you sneak? Have you gone to Fenway?
I have.
Okay.
Not since I've been here.
No, probably no. Portland. You went to games?
No. I mean, you know, I've been to Fenway.
Yeah, no. I didn't know if you like.
Not this year.
Hung out at the bleachers or something.
No, not this year. Me and Marcelo have. We went to Boston a few times.
Last
on off
year.
Days. This year we went on off days, but not to Fenway.
Oh, you went to Boston. Oh, okay.
Right. Usually the way it lined up anyway, it was on the off days that we were there, they were away this year. But no, we haven't.
Did he dip into his per diem envelope?
No, I saw that video.
I have my people, so we're like, yes.
Yeah, that was funny.
Is that true?
Yeah, no, he's not lying. fine. You know, he's I don't think he's dipped into it a whole lot.
Do you have a per diem envelope? Like,
yeah, we get them. We all get them.
No, I know. But do you spend it at Waffle House?
Or I don't like, stack it up completely. I usually take it on the road and try to lay off the credit card and take the money and spend it on the food on that during that week and pay the clubby, and so it's not all stacked up, and I don't want a bunch of cash anyway on me. So
well, who carries cash anymore, honestly? That's what I told him. Like,
it's right on your phone anyway.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you, man.
Who carries cash? Maybe the best Roman Anthony interview of all time right there. That's Roman Anthony, top Red Sox prospect. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. In case the end you were a little confused, Marcel Meyer came on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and revealed that his per diem, he puts in an envelope and saves it. He never spends it, which I thought was bizarre. But also, I guess, a tip of the hat, a tip of chapeau for saving your per diem money. Because, as I said, like, who pays with cash anymore? I don't know. But as Marcelo Meyer's tack that he takes. And, by the way, the car reference, they do have the same car, and they did each buy their cars. I wish I could remember the Mercedes something or other, with the money they got from their signing bonuses. So little known facts that you maybe not have known. So you can
only you can get those facts.
It's unbelievable.
Out of
them. It's unbelievable. So check that out. Check out that as well as Christian Campbell. So Marcelo, I'm sorry, Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, both this morning on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast at BB Isn't Boring. Go subscribe, go rate, review, all of the above. All right, well, we're coming down to the finish line. We're going to have a crossover. I love crossovers. It's John Lyons and Chris Scheim, or John Lyons, just John Lyons. I don't know. Whatever they want to talk about, the great game of baseball, I'm here. I'm here for them. I am so looking forward to their show, and it's going to be a perfect segue leading into more excellence. So I appreciate everybody. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'll be back after this. All right, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I want to thank everybody because I'll forget if I don't. Let's see. We got Joe Weil. Joe Weil stopped by the North Shore Baseball Isn't Boring Studios. We appreciate him being on for an hour. Brian Abraham, farm director, he was on telling the what's what when it comes to all things Marcelo Meyer, Kyle Teal, all of those guys, Roman Anthony. Roman Anthony for swinging by and doing that interview you just heard. Thank you to Riley Payne and Emma Tiedemann, I love that conversation about talking about their historic broadcast from Monday night. I probably forgot everybody, but, oh, Joe Braverman, intern Tom. Part-timer Tom. How'd it go? How are you? You all right?
Doing all right, Brad.
You know what I did? I faked like I was talking to make him nervous. Yeah. Anyway, John Lyons, Chris Scheim.
Hello.
What's going on,
they're
Brad?
They're here. Bo?
What's up?
They're here. Two of my favorite people. I love listening to them. I'm going to love listening to them driving home, trucking on home. All right, here, have at it. Whatever you guys want to talk about, let's go. What do you want to talk? Because let's be honest. You're going to be talking a whole lot Drake May. You love yourself some Drake May.
Yes, you know I do.
And everyone loves Drake May. Like, that's, you go with what you know and go with what people want. Much like when I turn on the electricity here and Tristan Casas' name comes on, boom, there it is. Very polarizing figure.
So Bradfo, you had this discussion earlier.
Yeah.
A very lively discussion about the Casas for Vlad Guerrero thoughts. So when it comes to Casas, what is he, 5 years of control left, I think, with their organization, about that 4 or 5 years. So taking Vlad Jr. out of it, is he a piece that you would look at and say, I don't want to trade this guy at all? Or is there an elite starting pitcher you'd move him for? Like, is there something out there you would say, I want to move Casas?
I would be very hesitant to trade him for a pitcher because of how volatile pitchers are.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the Vlad Guerrero, this was what Fitzy and Ken were talking about. And of course, I would trade, all things equal, I would trade Vlad Guerrero for Tristan Casas. Yes, it's a better fit for the Red Sox. Vlad Guerrero is an elite player. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, all of the above. But he is a free agent after next year. Tristan Casas, as you point out, John, that he's got a lot of years of control. And I'm not just saying you have a lot of years of control for an average player. As I cited, like, I keep coming back to this stat, which is starting on June 1st last year, which I think is fair because the first couple months, like, he's figuring things out.
Mm-hmm.
Just June 1st last year till right now, he has a better OPS than Rafael Devers. I'm not saying that his career is going to be better. I'm saying this is, to me, showing what type of player he is, because you're talking about a 500 plate appearances. So that's why I say, yes, you this is a guy you build around.
Yeah,
so
but you have to take that into consideration, too, though, that like it's been limited amount of time since last June, right? So like he basically played all from June 1st to the end of last season, but then he's missed all of almost...
Well, he even missed September last year, right? Or did he get hurt in early September?
He got hurt, but so we're talking about, again, about 500 plate appearances. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, will he drop off? He could, absolutely. But all we can go by is what we know.
Yeah.
And what we know is that, you know, I'm not going to take that first two. Other than those first 2 months, he's been pretty consistent. Like, he's absolutely been pretty consistent. And here's the thing where it gets twisted, and this is what we deal with every week on the show, which was usually we have the olds usually call up and they're like saying, trade them. I don't want them. And why? Okay. Well, that's fair.
It's 'cause
like,
he's a young, new style of player.
But because he talks and he's weird and he does things that's out of the ordinary. And so when you say the thing like, well, okay, if you want to trade him, like you said, if you want to trade him from Tarek Skubal, let's have that conversation. Yeah. That's fine. But don't tell me you want to trade him. And 'cause the first thing out of their mouth is, I don't like the way he acts.
Yeah, I don't think the Red Sox even care about that. For them, it's, ooh, we have a decent amount of control on a good power bat. Like, that to them is a big
deal. He's not a bad teammate.
No. Oh, he's a good player. I don't think he is.
No, but I said this before. Are there guys in the clubhouse who roll their eyes? Sure there are.
Yeah.
But you know what? In Papelbon, I got this argument / conversation.
The Manny being Manny thing?
The Manny thing. Like, I told him, I said, that's a bad analogy because – Manny was, yes, he was weird. He was uncomfortable. He did things that were not necessarily good for the team. And by the way, I would say that Tristan Casas is a 10 times better teammate than Manny Ramirez is. But you also won with Manny Ramirez.
He was a World Series MVP.
Yes.
Literally.
Like, yes. Like, you won with...
And my thing, like, the Manny being Manny, and you obviously covered it extensively, like, that was funny until all of a sudden it wasn't. But it took 7.5 years
It took seven. Even that last year, I know that was the, because he started talking and he hadn't talked. Yeah. So for
he wanted the option picked up, right?
Right.
He wouldn't pick it up, and then he got pissed.
He got obsessed with the option. He got pissed, and it really a matter of a month and a half, and then he was gone. Anyway, so my point is, Tristan Casas, good, probably. Absolutely part of the solution, not part of the problem.
So they should trade him because he sunbathes.
Exactly.
Where's that ski mask? He wears a ski mask.
I don't know if you guys heard my Colin Farrell. So I had Michael Kelly, who was an actor. I don't know if you know him.
Doug Stamper
from House of Cards on the podcast. He told the story of when Colin Farrell walks in, the penguin. You guys are going to watch the penguin? Yeah, so he's in the penguin. Colin Farrell's the penguin. Colin Farrell comes in to the table read. I'm Colin Farrell. Hey, everybody. Sits down, pulls a ski mask over his face for the entire table read, then pulls it off. He pulled a Casas.
It's like a Daniel Day-Lewis
movie. Oh, like, I love it.
Method acting. I respect it.
All right, guys. Well, you guys, I really appreciate you guys. Again,
Brad, part of the solution, both of you.
So thank you for all that you do, and I look forward to listening to you. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Joe Schmo Braverman. I hope you don't take offense to me. I just like saying that.
No, it's fun to say. It's endearing,
right?
He's the second best JB in Boston behind Jaylen Brown.
Oh, by the way, the great Lenny DiNardo texted me, same birthday as Joe Braverman.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
All the greats. All the greats.
The only time me and a Red Sox legend will be in the same sentence.
September 19th.
Legends.
All right, Tom, excellent job. Where is he? Excellent job. All right.
Good job, young Tom.
All right, excellent job. All right, guys, next week we'll see you again. Baseball isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. See you next time.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.